Privatization and crisis in the NHS started by Labour, carried on by Tories. The Tories have used the cover of the COVID pandemic to speed up their agenda of opening up the NHS further to the profiteers and the private sector. And Labour's health speaker Spison, West Reading, has welcomed more use of the private sector in the NHS, following in the footsteps of the pro-big business governments of Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. How did we get here, and how can we fight back? John Dale, Mansfield Socialist Party. Despite the heroic efforts of health workers, the NHS has been ill-prepared to cope with the COVID pandemic. The roots of this lie in years of neoliberal policies, including the drive of the Labour governments of Tony Blair and Gordon Brown to turn the NHS into a capitalist market. 10 years of Con Em coalition and Tory austerity left over 100,000 unfilled staff posts, 1 in 12, 17,000 fewer beds at their lowest level ever, and equipment and PPE stockpiles run down. These resulted from annual 1% funding increases, when 4% was needed just to stand still. The Tories' 2012 Health and Social Care Act allowed NHS services to be delivered by any willing provider. Private companies could tender to win contracts. In a dire financial situation, the lowest tenders were always likely to be picked, whatever the quality. Accelerated the Health and Social Care Act followed the tracks left by Labour. Although Labour had been elected in 1997 pledging to end Thatcher's NHS internal market, within 4 years Blair reintroduced and accelerated it. Blair said, "We must develop an acceptance of more market-oriented incentives with a modern reinvigorated ethos of public service." Market-oriented incentives meant big business profits. Blair saw the role of the NHS, and other public services, as planning and monitoring, i.e. the regulator, paying private companies to be providers. Labour Health Secretary Alan Milburn negotiated a concordat, inviting the private sector to take over clinical services paid for by the taxpayer. After leaving government, Milburn became a well-paid advisor to Bridgepoint, a venture capital company closely involved with NHS privatisation. Another Labour Health Secretary, Patricia Hewitt, took a similar path after government, working for Syngenta. Capitalism tries to turn everything into commodities, to be bought and sold. Profit-seeking corporations were happy to accept Blair's invitations to carry out 10th number of hip replacements or Y number of MRI scans. Less well-defined areas of healthcare, such as contingency planning for a possible pandemic in the next 20 years, were never likely to attract the marketeers. Turning the NHS into a market led to a huge increase in health workers' time-measuring activities that could be priced and paid for. Contracts needed negotiating, results counted, procedures invoiced and paid for, disputes legally challenged, etc. Blair's first health secretary, Frank Dobson, complained that paperwork used to cost 4% of the NHS budget, but now costs 15-16%. The proportion of NHS staff and management increased from 2.7% in 1999 to 3.6% in 2009. Foundation trust status was created by Labour. Hospitals and primary care trusts could become semi-independent, no longer under direct Department of Health control. They were able to borrow money on the private market, enter into commercial agreements with private providers, and generally run as commercial companies. Profit. Although non-profit making, foundation trusts could form profit-making joint ventures with private corporations, and also sell off NHS assets, especially land. Competing for patients, who brought in payments, with other trusts undermined the collaboration needed to plan services to meet community needs. The scandalous treatment of elderly people with covered and privatized care homes, cared for by insufficient staff paid even less than the pitifully low NHS rates, is also partly a result of this competition. The proportion of GDP national economic output spent on the NHS under Labour went up from 5.4% in 1996 to 97 to 8.5% in 2009-10. However, much of this increase ended up in private bank accounts through contracted out services and private finance initiative, PFI, construction. Labour commissioned a former NatWest bank head, Derek Wandless, to report on future NHS funding. With his background, he was regarded as someone the government could trust. Wanless wrote, "Individuals are ultimately responsible for their own and their children's health. People need to be supported more actively to make better decisions about their own health and welfare. Ill health was supposedly an individual's failings, rather than society's. A COPD, chronic lung disease, sufferer needed support to stop smoking. Of course some did, but air pollution, damp housing, dusty working conditions, lack of accessible exercise facilities and other factors outside individual control, got much less priority." Boris Johnson's government echoed this approach with its initial COVID advice, placing responsibility for controlling the epidemic on hand-washing and coughing into our elbows, rather than testing, tracing, isolating and financially supporting COVID contacts. Ventilation of public buildings, co-monitoring and air filtration were later shown to be vital too. Labour transferred the functions of the Public Health Laboratory Service to a new arm's-length organisation. Its specialised laboratory work was hived off to hospital laboratories, becoming a poor relation to the pressures of daily clinical tests in an NHS increasingly cash-starved by the Tories. And Labour privatised NHS logistics, handing an integrated system of purchasing, stockholding, and distributing NHS supplies to giant German courier DHL. Just-in-time principles mean that when there is a major outbreak, the system is already at full capacity, and therefore struggles to meet extra for demand PPE, for example. In 2018, DHL failed to win a new contract, resulting in further fragmentation into 13 different contracts for procurement, warehousing, distribution and marketing. In January 2020, a managing company started reducing NHS PPE stock levels, right when COVID was developing in China. "We are paying the price today for decades of NHS underinvestment, cuts and privatization. Public health services, laboratory facilities, hospital beds and equipment, PPE and social care have all been strained to breaking point. Where was the robust contingency planning for infectious disease pandemics, predictable in their occurrence, if not their timing and cause?" Jeremy Corbyn is a backbench MP. Jeremy Corbyn did vote against the Labour government's foundation trusts. Unfortunately, when he was Labour leader, he did not disown the record of the Blair and Brown governments. And after the defeat of Corbynism, Labour has returned to its pro-privatisation position. Labour Shadow Health Secretary Wes Streeting said that the last UK Labour government showed using the private sector to bring down NHS waiting lists is effective, it's popular with patients. No doubt the next Labour government may have to use private sector capacity to bring down NHS waiting lists, and I won't shirk that for a minute. Labour won't reverse NHS privatisation, instead the working class needs its own party. To reverse the damage the NHS has suffered, one of the first steps of a future socialist government would be to abolish foundation trusts, renationalise privatised services, take over private hospitals, and scrap PFI. Globally, the shortage of tests, vaccines and lack of antiviral treatments show a negligent pharmaceutical industry only concerned with short-term profit. The industry needs to be taken into public ownership. All the big corporations should be nationalized, with no compensation, except where there is proven need, nothing for the fat cats. Democratic planning by workers in the industry, including scientists, medical experts, engineers, and trade unions, together with community representatives and socialist governments, would ensure production was geared to meet need, not profit. This is an edited version of an article that originally appeared in Socialism Today. Find New Labour's Real NHS Legacy at socialismtoday.org.